The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams, and you're listening to the Hoopball Nets Podcast. We are back with I am back with another episode of the Hoopball Nets Podcast today. It is just me today. Hunter will be back next episode. He is a little bit busy right now, but I wanted to get you guys an episode out. I haven't recorded a solo episode in I don't even know how long, to be honest. It's definitely been a couple of months. So I'm not going to touch on a ton. Like, it's not going to be a super long episode. The stuff I want to talk about, I definitely want to talk about with Hunter. But I definitely wanted to get you guys an episode. So before we get into everything, make sure you guys subscribe to the Hoopball Nets Podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. All reviews will get right on the podcast. So be sure to throw in any questions or comments or any Nets-related stuff you have. So when we read the review, we can also answer your question. You can follow me on Twitter at Najee Adams _. Follow the pod on Twitter at Run It Up Pod. And if you rock with me, then I have my own podcast. It's called the Run It Up Podcast, where I basically talk about sports, football, basketball, everything like that. And I have some pretty cool guests. I had Keith McPherson of Talking Nets on like 2-3 episodes ago. So go check that out. And yeah, I just had to get my quick little plug in. first thing I want to talk about is KD, Kevin Durant, the man, the myth, the legend, one of the front runners for MVP, I would say, KD Slim Reaper. He has been out for a good little while. He has been out since last Friday because of his second contact tracing incident when it comes to COVID-19, but he was able to practice on, he was able to practice today on Friday, the day that I'm recording this actually, and he apparently will be a full go for Saturday's game against the Warriors. So, like I said, he was placed in the league's COVID-19 protocols last Friday, and because he was in close contact to someone who had tested positive. He continued to test negative, though, during the past week. And, he's going to be back on Saturday. It's going to be the first time that he will be playing in Golden State since he left the Warriors as a free agent in 2019. This Saturday, though, the Nets will be without DeAndre Jordan. And, we're getting KD back finally. And I know a lot of people, including KD himself, have been like, yo, what's good with the league's COVID-19 protocols? Like, why can't we just, like, if he's continuing to test, if he's tested negative twice in the last week, like, why can't we just get him back on the court? Now, I also think that some work needs to be done on the protocols. Like, I definitely don't think they're perfect, but I understand the better safe than sorry kind of mindset. Because what happens if Kevin Durant, the face of the Brooklyn Nets, one of the most popular players in the world, one of the faces of the NBA, who has already, by reports, had COVID, gets COVID again, and then brings it back to the entire Nets, and Nets have to shut down, pull a Wizards, and not play for like a week and a half, and that just causes so many more issues. So the easier thing to do is to just keep KD out for the week. Especially with or without KD, the Nets should be able to win games. And the fact that they haven't been speaks to a larger issue. I understand why the league would do it. I get that it's frustrating. I, as well, am frustrated with KD's lack of play. And it's not even, like, the Nets have been pretty lucky when it comes to injuries. None of our big three have gotten injured. So we just got to roll with the punches like every other team in the league has to do for this crazy pandemic season. And hopefully at the end of it, we get through it. But as for right now, I don't really think there was much else the league could have done, you know? And so I'm going to give them some slack on that end of things, on that end of the spectrum. But yeah, just talking about the whole Nets big three, they've been pretty good when all three have played on the court. They're 3-0 with their big three starting alongside Joe Harris and DeAndre Jordan. They're 1-0 with the trio starting with Harris and Jeff Green. And then they're 0-1 using a big lineup with both DeAndre Jordan and Jeff Green. So basically they're 4-0 when DeAndre Jordan, when Joe Harris and then either DeAndre Jordan or Jeff Green is starting. So basically the key there is Joe Harris, old reliable. But no, they've been really, really, really good. Their net rating is 28.9 and their offensive rating is 148.2, which is the best of any trio that has played at least 40 minutes together. Now, you could say that the Nets are really the only big three in the league, like the only big three trio in the league, which could be true. I mean, I feel like Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis are kind of a big three, but not to the extent that the Nets are, but still, that's impressive nonetheless. They've been extremely good. The Nets dealt for Harden on January 13th. He debuted 3 days later, but combined, they've played a total of 164 minutes and 38 seconds in only six games, which is less than 3 hours. So they just haven't really gotten much time to play together. When I, like, Kyrie and Harden have played a good amount together. Kyrie and KD have played a good amount together. But KD and Harden played those two games before Kyrie got back. Like, they've all played in these little combinations of each other, but really not much time together as a unit, which they need to start logging time, because that's going to hurt when we get to the playoffs and not having as much chemistry as other top tier teams. But like I said, it's a weird season. So not having KD, that's not his fault. So we can't even blame injury for that. But no, the Nets have been pretty disappointing in these last four games without KD, and it really speaks to how much he really does for their team. Like, he's by all accounts the second best player, if not the first best player in the entire NBA. So regardless how good your team is, losing that big of a piece is going to hurt any team. So the Nets managed to beat the Clippers on Tuesday, February 2nd. That was the last game that KD played in. They then lost to Toronto. They lost to Philadelphia. They lost to Detroit. They were 0-3. They were on a three-game losing streak with KD out, but Harden and Kyrie playing. Now, they've given up over 120 points. First of all, they've given the last time before. Let me just 100% restart. Bear with me here. So the Nets gave up in the game versus the Pacers, their most recent game, they gave up 94 points and they got a win, which was a really, really good win. The only time before that they hadn't given up 100 points was against the Heat on January 25th when they gave up 85. Other than that, the Nets have given up 132, 147, 149, back-to-back 150-point games is just crazy. 124, 123, 124, 122. They basically average around 120, 124 points given up, which is just an insane amount of points. Like, that speaks to how bad of a defense they are without KD on the court and with him on the court. But things just get extremely exacerbated even more when he's not on the court. But now with him coming back, and let me just add, he's coming back at literally the perfect time. They play the Warriors, which they should win. Like, that should be a pretty easy game for them to take. The Warriors are no threat outside of Steph, so they should take that game. But let me not even say that, because the Warriors beat the Lakers. Then they play the Kings, who are a scrappy team. Like, let's not crap on the Kings here. I know that they've made it easy to do that in recent history, but they're not actually that bad this year. They are the 10th seed in the West. They're currently 12-12, so they're right at 500. They win just as many games as they lose. And so the Kings aren't any walk in the park, you know? Like, De'Aaron Fox has been having an incredible year, so, and the Nets clearly have trouble guarding guards, so that could be a recipe for disaster, but they should pull out the win. Also, 6 of the Nets, 7, 8, 9, 10. 6 of the Nets' next 10 games are nationally televised, so we should be seeing the Nets a lot on network television. And then they play the Phoenix Suns, who are really good. Like, the Suns are 15-9. They're currently the 4 seed in the West, ahead of the teams like the Trailblazers, who a lot of people thought would be much better. They're on a 4-game win streak right now. And they could be looking to upset the Nets. And like low key, like on the lowest of keys, it wouldn't even really be an upset because the Suns right now have a better win percentage than the Nets. But obviously a lot of stuff goes into that. KD isn't playing. So, you know, winning one out of your last four games really tanks your win percentage, especially when the Suns have won their last four. They're heading west after the Suns. They then play, which is probably the most anticipated matchup for the Nets this year, the Los Angeles Lakers on Thursday, February 18th. Hopefully we get a literal all-out brawl between the two teams. Hopefully the Nets are fully healthy. I know Anthony Davis for the Lakers right now is dealing with like some tendonitis, Achilles tendonitis. So hopefully he's back. And we get a clash of the Titans, a potential NBA Finals preview in February. We get the Lakers versus the Nets. Right now the Lakers are rolling. They're on a 6-game win streak. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. They're 12-2 on the road, and they're playing the Nets at home. So that gives the Nets a little bit of an advantage, because right now the Lakers are only 8-4 at home, which is still positive, but you know, much worse than 12-2. The Lakers have actually they've been without AD, like I just said, and they've gone to overtime in 3 of their last 3 games. So each of their last 3 games have gone to overtime, two against the Thunder, and they managed to win all 3 of them. So the Lakers, although it may look like they're struggling, and they kind of are, they're still a very, very top-tier team. So I'm really looking forward to that matchup. Then, right after the Lakers, we go right over to the crosstown rivals. We play the Clippers 3 days later on February 21st. The Clippers are currently, some could say, better than the Lakers right now, even though in the standings, they are the 3 seed while the Lakers are the 2 seed. The Clippers are 18-8. The Clippers are currently, since the Nets are going to be playing them at Staples Center again, the Clippers are 8-4 at home, which is literally the exact same record as the Lakers at home. So, you know, Staples Center is being protected. It's going to be a tough win for them to go in there and beat the Clippers again after they just beat them less than a month ago. But if they can manage to duplicate exactly what they did, then it'll work out perfectly fine. And they've proven that they can beat the Clippers, so I'm not too worried about that one. But I feel like the Clippers might win. They have more motivation to come back and smack the Nets in the mouth. And then we play the Kings again. We're going a whole Pacific Conference, Pacific Division rundown right here. And then after that, we head back home to face the Magic, which we should win. Then we got Dallas, which we should win. San Antonio, we should also win. And then Houston, we should also win. So there's a lot of winnable games coming up for the Nets, and I'm super excited for a lot of them. And I want to talk about Noah Vonleh signing, but before we do, we got to give a shout out to our guys over at mybookie.ag. Ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for betting tips, and I always get asked, who you got, Lakers or Clippers, Nets or Bucks, Rodgers or Mahomes? And I'll tell you what I tell them, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I tell people to bet with MyBookie. MyBookie's rep is rock solid, and they've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. They're the only place I trust to handle my NBA-related bets, and the one sports book guaranteed to give me all the best lines. You know me, and you know that I don't give out my stamp of approval easily. No, I do not. To earn it, you've got to be the best at what you do, and MyBookie is the best sports book out there. Period, point blank. It's as simple as that. You sign up, you enter promo code HOOPBALL, that's H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L, no spaces, and you get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. So you could put down a band, aka $1,000 cash, and get $1,000 cash back. Or you can put down 500, get 500 back. Hell, you can put down 20 and get 20 back. Regardless, it's free bread. Who does not like that? You can head over to MyBookie if you want to add a little excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. And so, yes, I do want to talk about the Noah Vonleh signing. But before I do, Iman Shumpert, we just signed him. He is now out 1 to 2 weeks. It feels like the Nets can't catch a break when it comes to this building up the roster construction. Like, it seems like every time we try and get a guy, he just doesn't work out or he gets injured. You know, Norvell Pell hasn't been great. Iman Shumpert is now injured. But hopefully better things come for Noah Vonleh, because he did not have to quarantine for 6 days because he actually tested positive for COVID-19. He tested positive back in the offseason when he was going to sign a training camp contract with the Bulls, but He did test positive, and Chicago immediately waived him literally a week before the season began. And Vonleh said at the time he didn't have symptoms, he was asymptomatic, and he hoped to renew his NBA career. And now, here we are. Noah Vonleh, he is now a member of the Brooklyn Nets. And so, yeah, Noah Vonleh, he's a 6'10 forward. The Nets need front court help because DeAndre Jordan and Jeff Green they're just not going to cut it against better teams, you know? Like, we already saw what Joel Embiid can do to the Nets when they lost to the 76ers. And, yeah, things like that are going to happen when teams have dominant bigs like Nikola Jokic or Anthony Davis, for just to name a few. Hell, even Bam Adebayo had like a damn near 50 burger on the Nets, and he's not like that. So, well, obviously Bam is nice, but he's not the type to just have super high scoring games. He more is like a gritty defender. He can get you 20 easy, but 40 point games, come on now. And so the Nets obviously needed front court help. He's played for 6 previous teams. He was the number 9th pick in the 2014 draft by the Hornets. And he has averaged, his career averages are 5 points and 5.2 rebounds in just over 330 games. He recently played for the Denver Nuggets. That was his last team. And his best season was with the Knicks in 2018-2019 season. He averaged 8.4 points and 7.8 rebounds. I feel like, the NBA and the Nets in specific know what Noah Vonleh is. Like, he's not going to be making any big leaps in his career at this point. He's not even that old, but I feel like the Nets are making a very tactical move here. They know what Noah Vonleh is. They know what they want him to bring. He was a $1.08 million cap hit, and Brooklyn has until February 24th to make a decision on Vonleh, Norvell Pelt, and Iman Shumpert. So that's going to be some upcoming news coming up. And really what a lot of Nets fans and maybe the Nets themselves are waiting for is Andre Drummond. It's a ton of news and rumors going around that Andre Drummond will be bought out and released by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he's supposedly super excited and very much so willing to sign with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, if that happens, I think the Nets are the front runners easily for an NBA championship. Because right now, what's their weakness? The weakness is depth. Their weakness is no dominant big or anyone capable of defending a dominant big. Now, Andre Drummond is not the best defender, but he blocks shots very, very well. And he's a big body. Like, he's well over 7 feet, and he gets a ton of boards. The Nets would basically win the rebounding battle every night if you get Andre Drummond. That's really what he brings to the team. So if the Nets do get Andre Drummond, they're going to be, you could argue they have a big four. They're going to be very, very hard to stop. Andre Drummond is not, he's an above average big. He's probably a top 10 center in the league. And just off the top of my head, I'm not going to go through 10 centers right now, but just off the top of my head, I feel like he is. And so, yeah, I think the Noah Vonleh signing is kind of a placeholder. I understand it. I think it's a decent signing for now. We'll see what Vonleh can contribute to the team. If nothing, then no harm, no foul. Get him out of here. And if he turns out to be a gem for the Nets, then he turns out to be a gem, and that's great. But overall, I just am super excited to have KD get back on the court, play with Harden, play with Kyrie, get our big three back in action so that they can build up chemistry, hopefully on this West Coast stretch. That's what they'll be able to do, win, lose, or draw. Well, obviously winning builds chemistry because, you know, you get to win with those guys and experience that greatness, that success with those guys. But losing also creates chemistry because you get to go through the struggle with those guys. It always reminds me of kind of like getting initiated in a frat, like your brothers. Those people are your brothers because you go through hell with them to join the frat. And so that's kind of, if the Nets do, let's say they lose every game on this West Coast stretch, which obviously isn't going to happen. Hopefully, pray to God that doesn't happen. But even if they do, that builds character because now they've gone through that struggle together and they know that they're better than that. So they can strive to get better and hopefully win an NBA championship. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that. I hope you guys are too. And before we get up out of here, let me just give a huge, huge shout to our guys over at Manscaped. Listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take a look in the mirror, and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven pubes, my guy. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. And if you don't know what that means, because I damn sure don't, it means that it's good. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it is waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? I pray to God you have not. That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, it's as simple as this. 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our pubes trimmed and hairs in our holes looking nice. And with that, we're going to head up out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed. I know it was a shorter episode. Next episode will be much longer. We got our guy Hunter back, but thank you for chilling out with me this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed. You can follow us on Twitter at HoopBallNet. You can follow me on Twitter at NajeeAdams_. Hunter is at Hunter_JKR on Twitter. And my podcast is at Run It Up Pod on Twitter. I hope you guys enjoyed. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Share it with your friends and family. And before I go, let me give my own self a letter. L, whose name starts with an L? Lonzo Ball, LaMelo Ball. Boom. And with that, I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.